His body became one enormous ache of wanting. Stella, do you have any idea how hot you're...
Michael, she whined, bending her legs restlessly. Don't say it. He paused. Her words said no, but her body... Her chest heaved on ragged breaths, and she was clenched tight around his fingers.
I think you like it when I talk dirty to you,
he whispered. She shook her head frantically. It's embarrassing.
Your pussy doesn't think so. You're milking my fingers, Stella.
She clenched even harder in response, and arched her hips against his hand, driving him deeper. It's your fingers. I love when you touch me.
She shut her eyes and ran her cheek over the sheets.
With his free hand, he caught her clit between his fingers and stroked, slow and sure. She pressed the back of her hand to her mouth and tightened around him, but not as violently as before. His Stella liked to be spoken to. A lot. That was fine. Michael liked to talk.
I think it's the words,
he said, as he continued to stroke her with both of his hands.
It's a shame you can't see what you look like right now. My fingers are all the way inside your pussy, and you're drenching my palm. Does it feel good?
She bowed her back and bunched the sheets in her hands as she called out his name. Her nipples caught his attention, and his tongue curled in his mouth as he remembered her taste and texture.
Do those candy nipples ache?
She nodded, bumped her hips against him, and slid her hands up her belly to her tits. A frustrated sound tore from her throat as she pinched at the tips. She dropped her hands to her sides. It only feels good when you do it. Because Stella's mind needed to be seduced as much as her body. And apparently, her genius brain really liked Michael. He was just her practice boyfriend. But she responded to him like she'd never responded to anyone else. He put them both out of torture and sucked a decadent nipple into his mouth.
You're made of candy, Stella. Sweet, sweet, sweet.
She rocked against his hands with increasing speed.
Are you going to come for me soon? I haven't even licked your pussy yet.
A whimpering sound escaped her lips, and her expression went pained. She locked down so hard he thought that was it. But after a breathless moment, her muscles eased.
Maybe I should try out other words,
he whispered, as he trailed his lips down her belly. Tiny muscles fluttered around his fingers, and he knew she was close. She sank her teeth into her bottom lip as she threw her head back, inhaling sharply. He touched his tongue to her clit before asking,
Is it your box?
No.
Your lady V?
She smiled into the blankets. No.
Beautiful vagina.
Her smile widened and she shook her head. He licked her again, sucked on her with the faintest pressure, and she arched against his mouth. Still, she hovered on the brink, exactly where he wanted her.
I know.
He kissed her inner thigh.
It's your.
He accented each word with a kiss upon her damp skin.
Wet, hot, sweet potato.
She burst out laughing, and the sound worked into him and around him, fanning embers of happiness into full flame. He loved the sound of her laughter. He loved her smile. He loved... He cut off that train of thought before it could finish. Now was not the time for thinking. It was time for feeling. He licked her clit into his mouth, and her laughter turned into a long moan. She wove her fingers into his hair, undulating against his face, and he willfully lost himself in her taste, her scent, her erotic sounds, and the feel of her on his tongue. Nothing was this good. When she gripped his shoulders and pulled insistently, he looked up in confusion. Michael, I want it. I need it. Now, please, she said between heavy pants for breath.
It?
Fuck, was she going to talk dirty to him? She continued trying to drag him up over her. I'm aching for you, Michael. Too shy, after all. But her words hit him just as hard. He had to take a moment to focus on breathing and not spilling all over the sheets, before he climbed off the bed, turned her over, and pulled her hips to the edge of the mattress. This was the way she needed it. It was too personal for her to do it with him face to face. Maybe with her next man she'd... He distracted himself from that shitty image by running his hands over her generous ass. Their relationship was just practice for her. But this moment, right now, was real.
I love your bed, but it's too low to the ground. There is something mine is perfect for.
She buried her face in his sheets. Now, please. But when he patted his pocket, it was empty. He groaned in disbelief. Forget blue or indigo. Violet. His balls were violet.
I don't have a condom.
He was an escort, for fuck's sake, and he'd forgotten a condom. He'd been too eager to see Stella to go through his regular pre-session checklist. Don't tease me like that, Michael. She arched her hips, presenting him with a glimpse of her swollen pussy. God. He wanted to press into her so badly he hurt.
Not teasing. I left the box in my car.
She stared back at him with tormented eyes.
I'll be right back.
With that, he adjusted his painfully hard flesh, zipped and buttoned his pants, and ran from his apartment. Chapter 19. Stella collapsed onto Michael's bed. After her first three sexual encounters, she'd been convinced intercourse wasn't for her. It had been messy, at times painful and extremely uncomfortable. Right now, it was all she could think about. Her body throbbed from the force of her craving, aching to be filled and held and spoken to. She grinned as she recalled what he'd said. Did other people laugh during sex? She tapped her fingers on the bed as she waited. But patience had never been one of her strong suits. She was a person of action. She hated wasting time, and she hadn't finished investigating Michael's apartment. She lowered her feet to the floor, grabbed her glasses, and pulled his shirt on, smiling to herself when the tails fell to her knees. The non-French seams bothered her skin, but his smell made up for the irritation. Besides, she wouldn't be wearing this for long. A peek inside his closet filled her with vast contentment. Yes, it rocked her world. All of his beautiful suits and shirts were perfectly lined up, organized by color, fabric, sheen, and stripe width. She trailed her fingers over the sleeves of his suit jackets before she turned and considered his dresser. She wanted to open the drawers and see how he kept his socks, but that seemed intrusive. What if he caught her snooping? Would he think she was searching for something? Was she searching for something? Maybe she was, but not for anything in particular. She just wanted to understand him better. She padded out of his bedroom, walked past his TV. She'd already seen most of the titles there and had stuffed Laughing in the Wind in her purse. Tracked her fingertips over the cold surfaces of all the ordered dumbbells on the rack by his workout bench, slammed her fist into his punching bag, and then rubbed at her knuckles because that had hurt. A look in his fridge told her he cooked regularly. It was filled with Asian cooking sauces, with mysterious labels, fresh produce, and all sorts of healthy things Stella had no idea what to do with. There were a few containers of the yogurt she liked, though. As she ambled over to admire the plant on his dining table, the papers on top of his metal filing cabinet caught her eye. Bills, from the look of them. And Michael had money problems. She snuck a glance at the front door, but it remained shut. She perked her ears, listening for the sound of his footsteps. Nothing. Her heart pounded. She knew this was a violation of privacy. She shouldn't. She unfolded the top bill and read it as fast as she was capable. Just an electric bill, less than $100 a month. She was about to fold it back up when she noticed the name on the bill. Michael Larson. A strange pain pierced her chest. He hadn't trusted her with his real name. She grimaced. If she didn't know who he was, she couldn't stalk him after things ended. She put the bill back the way she'd found it. But even with how bitter she felt, she couldn't help scanning the other one on the file cabinet. A medical bill from the Palo Alto Medical Foundation. It wasn't addressed to him, however. The name on it was Mrs. N. Larson. Stella snatched it up and read the itemized list of procedures. CAT scan, MRI, X-rays, blood draws, blood tests, etc. The total came to a staggering $12,556.89. Wasn't insurance supposed to cover these things? She suppressed an unsteady hand to her forehead. Had his mom gotten sick without health insurance? Was Michael paying her medical bills? How was he paying... Her breathing went erratic, and her stomach twisted and sank. Michael didn't have a drug addiction or a gambling problem. He just really loved his mom. The room went blurry as her eyes watered. She straightened the bills back to the way she'd found them and swallowed around the knot in her throat. He'd slept with all those people, with her, because his mom was sick. She pressed a fist to her lips as she curled up on his couch. The door swung open. Michael took one look at her and rushed to her side. What's wrong? She opened her mouth to speak, but nothing came out. He scooted onto the couch and wrapped her up in his arms, kissing her temple, wiping the tears from her cheeks, running his hands down her back. What is it? What did she do now? How did she solve this? She didn't know how to cure cancer. Maybe she should have gone to medical school after all. She locked her arms around his neck and kissed him. He tried to back away. You need to tell me. She kissed him harder. He softened slightly and kissed her back for one drugging second before he pulled her away again. Tell me what's going on, he said firmly. Why are you crying? Did I go too fast again? Did I do something you're not ready for? She didn't know how to communicate what she was feeling. Her chest was bursting with emotion. It was too much, too intense, terrifying. I'm obsessed with you, Michael, she confessed. I don't want just a night or a week or a month with you. I want you all the time. I like you better than calculus, and math is the only thing that unites the universe. When you're done with me, I'm going to be that crazy client who stalks you just so I can see you from a distance. I'm going to call you until you're forced to change your number. I'll buy you an extravagant car. Anything and everything I can think of so I can feel connected to you. I lied when I promised I wouldn't get obsessed with you. That's my nature. I have... He sealed his lips over hers, and his urgency seared through her. He grasped her with rough hands, but she didn't care. She clawed at his pants until she could free his length. Then she tore away and worked her way down his body to take him into her mouth. She sucked and laved him with clumsy strokes of her tongue. She had no idea what she was doing, but he didn't seem to mind. He rocked his hips into her mouth with sinuous movements. She stroked his tattoo, caressed his strong thighs. By the tenseness of his body and the increasing speed of his motions, his hoarse sounds, she knew he was close. It fueled her own arousal, made her press her legs together as moisture coated her thighs. I want inside you, he said, trying to tug her away from his erection, but Stella didn't want to stop. She needed to feel him filling her mouth, needed to taste his completion. He groaned as she resisted his persistent attempts at freedom. When she finally relented, letting him slip from her mouth, he kissed her hungrily and rolled her into the couch. After sitting up, he dug into his pocket. His chest worked on deep, gusting breaths as he tore the foil open and rolled the condom on. He lowered himself over her and kissed her mouth, her jaw, her neck. Hard flesh prodded at her sex. As he slid into her, their eyes accidentally met and locked. Panic spiked. Too raw. Too exposed. She tried to look away until she realized the vulnerability she saw was his. Dark eyes gazed deep. Seeing her, seeing him. Their bodies picked up an elemental tempo. Hips surged and retreated, claimed, gave. He searched between their bodies until he could touch her right where she needed it. She burned and wound tighter and tighter. Moans tumbled from her lips as she arched into him. Through it all, their gazes held. He saw it all, heard it all. She would have been embarrassed if it weren't for his smile. The tender way he brushed the hair from her face before his free hand tangled with hers. The most incredible feeling of being loved washed over Stella. Release seized her. Hard, wrenching spasms stole her ability to move, speak, and think. The hand interlaced with hers tightened. His motions sped up. With one last deep thrust, he joined her in falling apart. The world stopped. All was silence but for their hearts trying to synchronize their crashing, whispering her name and kissing her softly. Michael eased out of her body and carried her into his bedroom. He settled her on the bed and pulled the covers up to her chin. He disappeared into the bathroom, and water ran. Before she could start to miss him too much, he returned and crawled into bed, so they were facing each other. He ran his fingers down her cheek and pinched her chin. Does my Stella want to stay or go home? She felt a grin forming on her mouth. When had he started calling her that? My Stella. Did he know there was nothing she wanted more than to be his? She wanted to ask what he meant by it, but was afraid he'd stop saying it. I can stay the night here? In his apartment, in his bed where clients weren't allowed? Was she rubbing off on him then? Maybe there was hope. Maybe he really could be hers.
If you want to. None of your things are here, though. You'd have to use my toothbrush, and you don't have any pajamas. You might have to sleep naked.
He said with a suggestive arch of an eyebrow. Those things bothered her, true. She'd probably sleep terribly and feel off all day tomorrow. But it would be worth it to be with him, and to put her mark on his apartment like wild animals did. Probably even the pugnacious honey badger. I want to stay. His smile alone made her decision worth it. Chapter 20. Over the next week, Michael learned Stella's rhythms. In bed, she responded best when he went slowly and whispered dirty things in her ear. But if he wanted something more intense, anything, she was game and eager to please. He couldn't have asked for a better lover. The irony of the situation was not lost on him. Out of bed, she thrived on routine. She got up at the same time every day, showered away evidence of their morning sex. He loved starting the day off right. Had yogurt for breakfast and stayed at the office until 6 o'clock. Her evenings belonged to Michael. When they weren't messing around like hormonal teenagers, they filled the time with long dinners, meandering conversation, and companionable silences that Michael had never experienced with a real girlfriend. Saturday night, after spending the day perusing one of the San Francisco museums and taking turns making outlandish comments about the art, they watched another episode of Laughing in the Wind in bed. Well, she was watching it. He was watching her as he combed his fingers through her long hair. She rested her head against his shoulder, eyes on the large screen mounted on her bedroom wall. From time to time, she gasped or stiffened in reaction to the film, and her bare legs shifted beneath the hem of the oversized white T-shirt she wore. His T-shirt, from the very first night they'd spent together. He didn't know how to describe the way he felt seeing her in his clothes, knowing she'd kept his shirt and had been wearing it to sleep all this time. But it was really good. He'd been feeling like this a lot lately. Basically, any time Stella smiled, demanded a kiss, or crossed the room to be near him. But also when they weren't together. He'd spent the entire past week in a euphoric high, grinning for no other reason than he was thinking of her. No doubt about it. Michael was stupid in love. He knew this was temporary, knew it wasn't real, knew it couldn't possibly end well. But he'd done what no escort should do anyway. He'd fallen for his client. So she saved his life, but now she's hiding behind that curtain pretending to be a grandma. Is he ever going to see her face? Stella asked, drawing his attention back to the screen. Is she the one he falls for? Do you really want me to tell you? She thought about it for several seconds before nodding. Yes, tell me. He laughed as he pulled her closer and kissed her temple. So thoughtful and serious, but so quirky, too. He loved that about her. Too bad. You'll have to watch it to find out. Because he couldn't help it, he kissed her jaw and nipped at her ear. God, it felt good having her near. He'd been made to love her. She crossed her arms. Why won't she let him see her? It's clear she likes him.
It's because she knows they can never be together.
Why not?
Her dad is a villain.
Which reminded Michael of himself, and his own fuckhead of a dad, and shredded his insides to pieces. She isn't bad, though, she said stubbornly. They can work it out. He said nothing. The heroine in the movie wasn't a bad person, but the jury was still out on Michael. He tried to be good. But when things got hard and he felt like his life was strangling him, awful, seductive thoughts ran through his head. Shortcuts, easy ways to freedom, clever, sneaky things. He knew people. It would be so easy to take advantage of them. There was very little preventing him from doing exactly that. Nothing but a shaky code of ethics and the desire not to follow in his dad's footsteps. If he were a better person, he'd tell Stella about his past and let her take the necessary precautions. Let her leave. But he couldn't bring himself to end this. He wanted more of her, not less. And their relationship was helping her. He could tell. Day by day, her confidence grew, and she smiled, laughed, and even joked. Soon she'd decide she was ready to move on. Until then, Michael was determined to enjoy every moment with her. Nuzzling her sensitive neck, he swept a hand up her silk-smooth thigh and underneath his shirt. Then he groaned as his body hardened.
No underwear. Trying to tell me something, Stella.
He whispered in her ear, loving the way she shivered and parted her legs to allow him access. She never turned him down, was just as starved for him as he was for her. You always throw them somewhere, and it takes me forever to find them. I figured I'd just... She gasped when he massaged her clit, and her head fell back against his shoulder. Watch the show. You might miss something. Fuck, she was wet already. Hot moisture licked over his fingertips as he traced her folds, and his cock strained against his jeans like it had been weeks since he'd last had sex. Not hours. He wanted her again. That closeness, that connection, that unbelievable mind-exploding pleasure. No amount was enough. She tried to follow his directions, she always did, but it wasn't long before she gave in and pulled him down for a wild kiss, which led to another and another and another. The next time he noticed the TV, it had returned to the main menu. The entire DVD had played while they were busy with other things. After washing up and turning off the TV and lights, he climbed into bed. Stella murmured as he gathered her against his chest, but she pressed a drowsy kiss to his throat. Possessiveness mixed with tenderness, and he brushed the hair away from her face and trailed his fingertips over a smooth shoulder, illuminated by moonlight. His Stella. For now. Until she decided she'd had enough practice. Or she found out about his dad. When Stella got home from work midday through the next week, an empty house greeted her. Michael had texted her that he was running late, so she'd been expecting this. What she hadn't expected was this gaping sadness, this cold aloneness. They'd only been in this practice relationship for a week and a half, but she'd already grown accustomed to him. Michael was part of her routine now, part of her life, and his absence sparked unrest in her being. When things ended, she'd have nothing but this emptiness. If things ended, if she failed at seducing him, there was nothing left on her original lesson plans. Not a single thing. She'd checked. It was time to move into full seduction mode. She wished Michael could teach her how to do that, too, because she had no idea what she was supposed to do. Google searches provided conflicting advice, and very little of it was useful in a situation like hers, where they were already in a monogamous relationship of sorts. One particularly obnoxious article had advised women to focus all their time and effort on improving their looks and then lower their standards. Well, Stella's standards were locked at 11 on the 1-10 scale. Only Michael would do. As for her looks, she couldn't bring herself to wear contacts or makeup except for special occasions. If his insatiability in bed was any indication, Michael didn't mind her the way she was. Her inner muscles clenched as she recalled what he'd done that morning, the way he'd kissed her, caressed her, the things he'd said. She swept a hand from her chest down to her thigh, wishing he was touching her right now. But even if he never slept with her again, she still wanted him. The non-bedroom side of Michael appealed to her just as much as the lover side, if not more. He made her laugh, and he listened to her, even when she wasn't saying anything particularly interesting. He was comfortable around her, and that made her comfortable around him. Sometimes she convinced herself that her labels didn't matter. They were just words. They didn't change who she was. If he learned about them, he wouldn't care. Maybe. Out of habit, she walked to her piano. She sat on the bench and lifted the fallboard, and the cool smoothness of the keys beneath her fingers calmed her. For years, music had been her main method of coping with emotions, good ones, bad ones, and those in between. Rich chords sang from the strings, called forth by muscle memory alone, and she gave herself up to the music, let everything she was feeling pour into her fingertips. When the song ended, she kept her hands on the keys, listening as the notes faded. "I knew you played, but I didn't know you could play like that," Michael said from directly behind her. She couldn't help grinning as she looked at him over her shoulder. "You made it back." His smile was tired, but it reached his eyes. In a mere fraction of a second, everything was right again. The coldness vanished. Missing pieces settled back into place. "What song was that? I feel like I've heard it before," he said. "Clair de Lune by Debussy. It's my favorite song." He rested his hands on her shoulders and brushed a kiss over her nape. "It's beautiful, but so sad. Do you know anything happier?" "Sad." Her lips wrinkled on something that didn't feel like a smile. That was a common theme for the pieces in her repertoire. "Well, maybe this." She bit her lip and picked the familiar melody from the piano, wondering if this was what he meant by happy. He surprised her by sitting down on the bench next to her and saying, "I thought Heart and Soul was a duet." She shrugged. "I've only ever played it solo." He captured her right hand and put it in his lap. A smile curved over his lips as he nodded his head toward the keyboard. "You play?" she asked.
"Only a little. But I know this one."
Breathlessness overtook her. Her fingers stumbled on the first notes, but she got into the swing of it pretty quickly. The bass half of the song was a simple repetition, a pattern, and second nature for her. When Michael wove the melody seamlessly with her accompaniment, startling warmth cascaded up her spine, and her body flushed with pleasure. She'd never played a duet with someone other than her piano instructor, and those occasions had been technical exercises. Nothing special. "You're good at this," she commented, glancing up at him as she continued to play. His smile widened, but he kept his attention on his fingers.
"With six of us wanting the piano at once, We had to learn to share. Also, none of us could ever figure out how to play your half with only one hand. You're really good.
It's just practice. And necessity. The sight of their hands side by side on the keys mesmerized Stella. The contrast was stark and beautiful, large to small, tan to pale, masculine to feminine. So different, but in perfect rhythm. They were making music. Together. The song ended, and she let her fingers slip away from the keyboard and averted her eyes. That naked feeling was back. He kissed her neck and smoothed his fingers along her jaw before gently urging her to meet his gaze. She thought he would speak, but he didn't. He only smiled. She wanted to ask if he liked being with her, if he liked this, but she struggled to muster the courage.
What if he said no?
Are you hungry? Let's eat,
he said, and the moment disappeared. She'd ask him later, after she'd had the opportunity to appropriately seduce him. Chapter 21. A week later, Stella still had no idea what she was doing in terms of seducing Michael. He seemed happy, she knew she was, but the end of their first month was coming up, and she had no confidence that he'd want to sign on for more. That night, his mom was having her over for dinner again. Stella racked her brain for clever ways she might ask his family for advice regarding Michael. If anyone knew him, it would be them. But how could she ask without them suspecting something was strange about her relationship with Michael? They thought she and Michael were dating for real. As he'd instructed her to do, Stella let herself into his mom's house and set her shoes against the wall next to Michael's. Her black heels looked tiny next to his leather loafers, but she liked seeing them sitting next to each other. It pleased her on a fundamental level. She placed a box of pears on the front table next to the bronze Buddha, and grunts and heavy breathing drew her attention to the sitting room to the right. She padded over and stared at a pretzel formation of limbs on the carpet by the upright piano. It seemed to contain Michael and another girl. Stella would have been jealous, but the whole ordeal looked really uncomfortable.
"Just give it up and say it," Michael gritted out.
"No! I had that arm bar. You only got out because of your steroid abuse."
"I do not use steroids. And you only got the arm bar because I didn't want to crush your boobs.
Going for your balls next time."
Looking closer, Stella saw they both had their arms locked around each other's throats, like anacondas in a death match. Neither was willing to let go.
"Maybe call it a draw?" Stella suggested. "Hi, Stella." A voice chirped. His sister's face was covered in a curtain of dark hair, and Stella had no idea which one it was. There were so many of them.
"Your girlfriend is here, Michael. Give up."
"Dinner is ready in 10 minutes.
The red hue to Michael's face was rather concerning, but completely self-inflicted, as far as Stella could tell.
"I'll be with you in a second."
"Only if you're giving up. Who's your daddy?"
his sister said as she flexed the impressive arm wrapped around his neck.
"Not some little brat."
The two rolled on the carpet, kicking and flailing their legs.
"I'm going to say hi to your mom and grandma then," Stella said. She would have preferred Michael's company when she greeted them, but this thing between Michael and his sister looked like it was going to take a while.
Neither of them responded. They probably couldn't spare the oxygen for talking. She meandered through the house, which was actually quite enormous. You wouldn't guess from the outside. His mom and grandma were seated in the family room, peeling grapefruit meat from their individual segments as they spoke in musical Vietnamese. Two men in a monkey suit and a pig suit flew across the screen of the muted TV.
"Hi, why?"
She bowed her head awkwardly. She could not wrap her tongue around the pronunciation of the word for grandma.
"Why?"
Michael's grandma smiled and waved her to the empty space on the aged leather sofa. As usual, she had a scarf wrapped around her head and tied under her chin. Adorable grandma. Was she staying away from the lawn chairs lately? Nodding at his mom, she said, "Hi, Maya," and sat in the indicated spot, feeling her stomach knot and her muscles tense. Even though she'd seen his mom a handful of times by now, she was still horribly nervous around the woman. Every word had to be measured before Stella could let it out of her mouth. Every action considered. She didn't want to mess up again. This was Michael's mom, the most important woman in his life since he didn't have a real girlfriend. All thoughts of asking for advice with Michael evaporated in the face of her anxiety. His mom held out a bowl of perfect skinless, yellow-green grapefruit slices. Stella had never seen grapefruit peeled quite like this, and she took a slice out of a mixture of curiosity and fear of insulting her. Once she bit into the fruit, sweetness exploded on her tongue, untarnished by the usual bitterness of the skin. She covered her mouth in surprise. "It's really good. Have more." His mom smiled and set the bowl down in Stella's lap. She was wearing a striped pink button-down and floral print jeans. Her glasses perched on the top of her head at a distracted angle. "Get salt if you want. E likes it with salt." "No, thank you." Stella ate one more, two more, before she made herself stop. It looked like a lot of work peeling them this way. In an effort to keep her hands busy, she picked up half of a grapefruit and tried to copy his mom's technique, all too aware of the stilted silence in the room. His mom watched her peel the fruit with a tiny nod. "Michael is making bun jiu tonight. It's really good. Has he made it for you yet?" Stella shook her head as she trained her eyes on the grapefruit. "No, he hasn't." Did his mom know Michael had been spending nights at her place? Did she disapprove? "Mommy, when is the bun jiu ready?" Janie trounced into the room and paused, smiling at her. "Hi, Stella." Stella returned her smile. "Hi." "Michael said 10 more minutes. Janie flopped into a scuffed armchair, throwing a jean-clad leg over the arm. "Starving, and all I had for lunch was some crackers. I've been doing homework since 10 this morning. Stella silently held out the bowl of peeled grapefruit, while Maya glowered at her daughter. "You're getting too pale." Turning to Stella, she asked, "Can you see how pale she is?" Janie snatched the bowl and inhaled piece after piece. Stella's jaw almost dropped. Did she know how much time it took to peel the things? "Maybe a little pale," Stella said. Maya spoke to Nguai in Vietnamese, and Nguai cast a disapproving look Janie's way. Stella didn't understand what she said when she spoke, but it sounded ominous. "Thanks for throwing me under the bus, Ji-hai." A crooked grin almost identical to Michael's flashed as Janie winked, and Stella's chest turned to mush. "What does Ji-hai mean?" Maya smiled as she focused on peeling fruit. Janie popped the last grapefruit slice into her mouth. "It means sister too. Michael is my Anhai, which means brother too. I'm down by the bottom with number 6 because I had the poor luck to be 5th born. We don't start at 1, by the way. I think 1 is reserved for parents or something. That's South Vietnamese inter-family naming convention. You get his number because you're his." A goofy grin teased at Stella's lips as her heart did clumsy flips and flops. She loved the idea of getting Michael's number. It made them a pair. Like the shoes by the front door, and their hands on the piano. Janie laughed and said something in Vietnamese to her mom and grandma. They both looked at Stella and laughed as they voiced their agreement. "Michael's been really happy this month," Janie said. "Like, embarrassingly happy. The general consensus is it's because of you." She caught her breath. "Has he really?" "Yeah. He's obnoxious when he's happy." Stella bit her lip to hide her smile. All of the emotion boiling inside her chest made her feel like it would rupture open, spewing rainbows and glitter. "He's never obnoxious," Janie snorted. "I bet he doesn't make you smell his socks." She choked on a laugh.
What's going on here?
Michael asked from the doorway. His hair stood up in complete disarray, and his face was still flushed from beating up on his sister. He wore a wrinkled white button-down over a plain T-shirt and faded jeans. He was gorgeous.
Telling her about the socks, dickhead, Janie said with an evil smirk.
Maya sent her a sharp, narrow-eyed look, and Janie shrank into her chair.
I mean, on high, she mumbled.
That's right. Give me my respect.
His smile was superior and lofty and obnoxious. Stella loved it.
Come on, dinner's ready.
Out in the kitchen, his mom went about dishing rice noodles into giant bowls and ladling soup over the top. Janie took the first bowl and brought it to the table where Nwai sat, cutting everything into little pieces with a scissors before squeezing in lime. Michael pulled her to the side. Hi. He swept his eyes over her and ran his hands down her back, pressing her close.
I like this dress on you. Are the seams bothering you?
No, they're fine. The problem is in the front.
What is it? Want me to fix it?
He unbuttoned her black cardigan and inspected the construction of the tight-fitting lycra dress with a frown.
I don't see anything obvious.
Can you sew She glanced at his family as they set bowls at the table and dropped her voice.
Can you sew a bra into it?
A wicked smile spread over his mouth, and he opened her cardigan wide to look at the hard points of her nipples.
I could, but I'm not going to.
He pulled her into the dining room and leaned her against the wall. When he palmed her breasts and tweaked at her nipples, she gasped as her body softened in a jolting flash.
This is a very high fashion look, you know.
He bent down and brushed his lips against her temple, her cheek, and finally her mouth, a whisper-like touch that left Stella wanting.
You know how I feel about fashion.
She snuck her fingers underneath his shirt to touch the hard ridges of his belly. It's indecent. He kissed her again, deep and slow this time, and pulled away with hooded eyes.
You'd be cold without the cardigan anyway. No bra.
He rubbed her nipples in exactly the right way to make her limbs melt.
Look at you, getting weak in the knees for me. So hot, Stella.
He captured her lips and stroked his tongue into her mouth. When he pulled her hips flush against his arousal, heat arrowed through her body and made her toes curl. She shouldn't want him again. Their morning had been particularly acrobatic today, and she'd barely made it to work on time. The tension on her scalp loosened, and her hair tumbled free. He worked a hand under her dress and gripped her inner thigh.
Ugh! Get a room!
One of his sisters stomped by. Michael broke away with laughing eyes and high color.
You're just mad because you didn't win.
You're a dick,
Maddie said. After his sister disappeared into the kitchen, Michael ran his fingers through Stella's hair.
Are you okay? Too embarrassing getting caught?
She shook her head. She didn't care if she was caught as long as it was with him. He planted his hands on the wall behind her and lined his body up against hers so they fit just right. Hardness to softness, curves to hollows.
Sexy Stella.
Their lips joined for another breathless kiss.
Oh my God, get a room!
Stella jumped at the brusqueness of Sophie's voice, and Michael laughed as he broke away. Without looking at them, Sophie marched into the kitchen.
Let's eat.
He grabbed Stella's hand and led her to the two empty seats at the kitchen table. When everyone cast knowing glances at them, she blushed and stared down at her bowl. Slices of tomato and green herbs floated atop an orange soup, thickened with something that looked like scrambled eggs.
You should wear your hair down more often, Stella, Sophie said. Might want to pull it up to eat, though. It'll get dirty.
She held a jar of brown-colored something out to her.
Want some?
Stella reached for it. What is? Michael snatched it and set it on the table.
She'll faint if she smells it, Soph. Her nose is super sensitive.
Sophie shrugged.
Stinks, but tastes good.
The label was mostly Chinese, but at the bottom it read, "Fine shrimp sauce." "I like shrimp," Stella said.
Michael pushed the jar to the other side of the table. "Not this kind of shrimp. Even I can't eat this stuff."
"Let her try it, Michael," Sophie said. When Stella's gaze fell upon Janie and Maddie, both girls shook their heads in matching horror. With an impatient sigh, Maya grabbed the jar and put it in front of Stella.
"This is mam juok. The correct way to eat bun jiu is with mam juok."
Stella closed her fingers around the jar. Feeling a lot like Snow White with her apple, she brought it to her nose. On the first whiff, her eyes watered. It was fishy, shrimpy, and potent. Upon her second and third sniffs, however, the smell lost some of its force.
"You just put it in the soup?"
Maya spooned a dollop into Stella's bowl.
"Like this, and lime and chili sauce."
She squeezed lime in and added a spoonful of red spicy-looking sauce. As she picked up her chopsticks and soup spoon, Michael watched her with wide, apologetic eyes. She mixed everything together, twirled the noodles around her chopsticks, and placed them in her spoon with broth like she'd seen Sophie do. Then she put it in her mouth. It tasted good. Salty, a little sweet, a little tangy. She grinned as she had another spoonful. "I like it."
"It's good, right?" Sophie asked. "High five you."
Stella high-fived Michael's sister, feeling silly but also like she'd made up for refusing to eat the BPA-laced food. His mom was smiling. Why was mmm-ing, and Janie and Maddie were muttering to themselves.
"They refuse to try it," Maya said, pointing to the two youngest.
"It smells like death," Janie said. Maddie nodded emphatically. "Dead bodies."
Maya blasted them with a harsh string of Vietnamese, and both girls cowered. Under the table, Michael squeezed her leg. He leaned toward her to whisper in her ear,
"Do you really like it? You don't have to eat it. I can get you something else.
I really do." She'd still eat it, even if she hated it, though. His mom looked proud and vindicated, and it wasn't poisoned, not that she knew of. He brushed his lips over hers once before pulling away with a cough and a laugh.
"I can smell it on you."
She stuffed another spoonful in her mouth, glaring at him as she wiped the hair away from her face with a forearm.
"Here, let me get your hair."
He unlooped her rubber band from his wrist and gathered her hair away from her face in a ponytail.
"Thank you."
He smiled and pinched her chin. By the look in his eyes, she knew he would have kissed her if his family hadn't been watching. And she didn't smell like fine shrimp sauce and dead bodies.
"Gross! Stop undressing her with your eyes," Sophie said.
"Seriously,"
Maddie chimed in.
"And since when do you keep rubber bands handy for her hair? Whipped much?"
Janie added. Stella contemplated diving into her soup bowl. Michael merely shrugged and grinned. Then he wrapped an arm around her shoulders and kissed her temple. Dinner passed in a blur, as his sisters alternated between bickering and teasing. His mom interjected now and then with firm mediation or withering glances. But Stella had a feeling the woman was content. Once everyone had finished their soup and filled themselves with skinless grapefruit, Maya ordered Janie and Maddie to clear the table and wash the dishes. Michael took her hand, preparing to take her home, but his mom waved them toward the family room.
"Stella, I have something to show you."
Michael groaned.
"Maya, no, not today."
"What is it?" Stella was helplessly curious.
"How about next time?" Michael asked.
"He was really cute," Maya said.
"Baby pictures?" Stella all but danced in place.
"Michael, I want to see them."
He grudgingly followed as she towed him after his mom into the family room. Maya handed Stella a fat picture album, and mother and son sat on either side of her on the couch. She smoothed her fingers over the velvet cover of the album. The one her mom kept for her was almost identical to this one.
It was the kind with sticky pages and the thin plastic cover sheet that peeled off. The first page was a grainy ultrasound printout and a picture of a wrinkle-faced infant who looked like he was 1,000 years old. As the pages progressed, however, he queued it up quickly. There were pictures of Nwai holding him, of him learning to walk and trying to pick up a watermelon. In one picture, chubby toddler Michael wore a little suit. Was it his first suit? In between a young couple. The woman was a very young, very beautiful version of his mom, wearing a white traditional Vietnamese dress with pink flowers embroidered on the front. The man had to be his father. He was tall and blonde, and had Michael's crooked grin. "You were beautiful, Ma," Stella said, running her fingertips down the flowing dress. "I love the dress."
"I still have that, Ao Yai. You can take it home with you tonight if you want."
"I can really have it?"
"It doesn't fit me anymore, and Michael's sisters aren't interested. They only fought over the jewelry, but that's all gone."
Maya's voice was subdued, and her eyes lingered over the blonde man's face. "This is Michael's dad.
Very handsome, ah?"
Michael turned the page without a word. His chubbiness was gradually replaced with gangly limbs and male beauty. He smiled often and was full of life and fun. There were dozens of pictures of him and his baby sisters surrounded by passels of full-blooded Vietnamese cousins. He looked out of place next to them, with his paler skin and non-Asian features, just as he must have looked out of place next to all of his peers at school, for the exact opposite reasons. What had it been like not fitting in anywhere? Maybe it hadn't been that different from her own experience growing up. There were pictures of early teens, Michael, playing chess with his dad, his face creased in intense concentration, pictures of him frowning over science projects, pictures of him dressed in full kendo sparring gear like a little badass, where the front flaps of his uniform displayed his last name in caps, Larson. When he flipped the page quickly and shot her an alarmed look, she kept her face blank, pretending she hadn't seen it. She wasn't good at lying, but she knew how to pretend she was okay. She'd been doing it around people since she was little. She hated doing it with him. Was it that important to him that she didn't know his real name? What did he think she'd do with the information? The knowledge that he didn't trust her dimmed the warm glow the evening had given her. Was she foolish for hoping she could make him hers? When she surfaced enough from her thoughts to notice the photos again, they'd almost reached the back of the album. The pictures showed off a nearly full-grown Michael, who was so gorgeous she couldn't help sighing. He stood next to his beaming father, chess tournament trophy in hand, kendo tournament trophy in hand, science fair trophy in hand. "That's a lot of trophies," she commented.
"Dad liked it when I won, so I tried really hard."
"Michael was valedictorian at his high school," his mom said, looking at Michael with boundless love.
Stella smiled. "I knew you were smart."
"It was just hard work. I figured out how to test well. You're way smarter than me, Stella."
She searched his closed-off face, wondering why he discounted himself like that. "I wasn't valedictorian. I only did well in math and science."
"My dad would have preferred that."
Michael flipped to the last page. There, he graduated from the San Francisco Fashion Institute. His shoulders were squared, his expression determined. His parents were in the picture, his mother visibly bursting with proud happiness, while his father looked like he'd been forced into the photograph. His hair had gone mostly white over the years, and while he was still an attractive older man, he looked worn and cynical. The crooked grin was gone. "He didn't want you to go to design school." Michael shrugged.
"It wasn't his decision."
His voice was flat, his usually vivid eyes dull. Stella covered his hand with hers and squeezed. He turned his hand over, interlaced their fingers, and squeezed back.
"Michael is very talented.
When he graduated, he had 5 job offers. He worked for a big designer in New York before we needed him at home because his dad left.
Maya gazed off into space, the set of her mouth bitter, but she blinked and focused on Michael.
But I'm glad I called you home. You were ruining yourself. Too many women, Michael. You don't need 100 women. Just 1 good one.
His mom patted Stella's leg, and Stella felt a terrible, deep wanting well up inside. Right now, she was considered a good woman. What would his mom think if she knew about the label Stella had been purposefully withholding? Would she suddenly become unsuitable for her son? What kind of mother wanted an autistic daughter-in-law? And possibly autistic grandbabies? And since when had she started thinking about marriage and babies? She and Michael weren't in a real relationship. Would he date her if he didn't need the money? If he were free to be with whomever he wished, would he pick her?
Okay, his mom said briskly. That's all of the pictures. Michael, come help Maya with my iPad while I find the Aoyai.
Michael gave a resigned sigh and stood. Can I look at these pictures longer? Stella asked. Maya smiled and nodded, but Stella had only looked at the pictures for a minute or two when Janie wandered into the room. She held a meaty textbook in her hands.
So, is it true you're an economist? Janie asked. She shifted her bare feet on the carpet until her knees pointed together.
It's true. You're in your 3rd year at Stanford, right? That's a really good program. Stella remembered now that Michael's mom had wanted her to speak to Janie about her work.
What's the textbook for? Do you need help with your homework?
Janie hugged the book to her chest and sat down in the armchair she'd occupied earlier.
I was more hoping... She took a breath. I was hoping you could help me get an internship. Maybe send my resume to colleagues who are hiring. I'm having a hard time getting interviews. I have no experience, obviously, and I did really bad my 1st year. My GPA hasn't recovered. But I know my stuff. This is what I want to do.
Do you have a copy of your resume handy? As soon as the words left Stella's mouth, she wanted to recall them. She sounded like she was in interview mode, and Janie looked nervous. Janie pulled a sheet of paper from her textbook, an international macroeconomics tome, and handed it to her. The resume described her passion for economic theory in concise language, listed relevant coursework and skills, and displayed her grade point average. In her major, it was 3.5. Cumulative, it was 2.9. Definitely not the number she needed to get into brand-name institutions, even as a Stanford student. As gently as she was capable, Stella asked, "Can I ask what happened in your 1st year? Janie stared down at her textbook.
It's when Mom was really sick. It was a hard time for everybody. We had to take turns taking care of Mom and running the shop, and we were already overwhelmed with the repercussions of the separation and all that. I didn't balance my time well. Honestly, I didn't care about school at that point, which is stupid because it's so expensive and we were hurting for money.
Wait, why had they been hurting for money? Did it have something to do with Michael's dad?
From the outside, they looked well off. The shop seemed to do well. They own this house. She wanted to ask so badly. Her fingers clawed at the edges of the photo album. But that was rude. She might feel like she knew these people, but it hadn't been that long since she'd first met them. And the last time she'd cried, she'd put Michael's mom in tears. She never wanted to make someone cry again. Lamely, she said,
I see. Do you think I have a chance of getting an internship with those grades? Is there anything I can do to make my resume more attractive?
With Janie's grades, her resume was easy to overlook. However, the beginning of an idea took root in Stella's mind, and she tilted her head, looking at Janie in a new light.
Are you interested in econometrics?
Chapter 22
Stella had filled out half of the necessary forms to open up an internship position in her department, of which she was the sole employee. When her phone buzzed, she dug it out of her desk and smiled at the message from Michael. What is my